Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Our 99th episode, last one before we hit triple digits, so we're super excited. Next week we have something special planned, but it's really just means us drinking champagne. But first up we have Sarah Abramyuk. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hello.
Sarah is the maker of, Spatzies?
Spatzies.
Nailed it. Granola. I'm staring at four delicious bags, all with probably a couple bites out of by now, because I've been digging in. I think it'll be good on top of the pizza. What do you think?
Yeah, you could probably throw it on pizza.
A little granola pizza. So what are Spatzies?
Spatzies?
Spatzies.
It's my granola that I make with lots of love. Spatzi means little sparrow in German. It's a term of endearment that your grandmother would call you and it's, I don't know, it's really delicious granola.
And so let's go back a little bit. How'd you get your start in baking and granola and the world of culinary things?
I moved to New York like 8 years ago, and I've always worked in restaurants over the last couple of years, or last 8 years, and I just kind of slipped into that, hanging around a lot of kitchens. And I worked in a bakery baking for the last 2 years. And there's always been food, like, all my life. Like, my mother is an amazing baker, my dad's an amazing cook. And I just started making granola for myself, and I gave it away to friends, and they all really liked it.
And they were like, you should put this into cute bags and start selling it? How did that process start? What was that watershed moment of saying, I'm going to go beyond just making it and giving it to friends, to I'm actually going to make a business out of this?
I think it was, I had one particular friend that I would always give my leftover granola to, and she loved it. And I made she always called me Spatzi, that was her nickname for me. And I made her as a joke on one of the granolas I gave her. I made a little sticker with the name, and I drew a little bird. And when she moved away, she made it into a stamp for me, and she was like, I want you to do this. Like, you need to get this out.
Can we shout out the person?
Yeah, name? Her name's Tamar Chevron, but she's in Israel, so she's far away.
Well, this is on the internet, so you can listen.
Yeah, I'll send it to her. I'll make sure she'll hear it.
And so she sent you a stamp, and you started making it?
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, why not? I'll try it. I got bags, I stamped them, I filled them with granola, and I went to friends first, and I was like, do you want to sell this in your shop? And they said, you know, we'll try it. And now it's like one of their best-selling products. So
that's amazing. All right, yeah. So I'm looking at four bags. What are the different flavors? What's original? What's in the original?
The original one is a nut and stone fruit. It's almonds, all kinds of seeds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, flax seeds, and then dried plums and cherries.
Mm.
It's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's very
and
good.
And the variation?
And then we have a chocolate and pecan granola with cocoa nibs and really dark chocolate. That's my favorite. And then there's tropical fruit and nuts with bananas and coconut and mango and pineapple and cashews. And then there's a rosa spezial. That's it's rose petals, pistachios, figs, sesame seeds.
Mm.
And yeah, they're fun.
Yeah. So then what's your process? Take us through, you know, how do you come up with a different flavor? Like, what's the base? How do you make granola?
Well, they all have the same base. It's oats, flaxseed, olive oil, honey, and salt, a little bit of salt. And then I think the first one I just threw in, like, whatever I wanted in a granola. And then, that was the first one, and then afterwards it's like, ooh, chocolate granola. Like, at home, I'm German, and at home there's so many different kinds of granolas.
Mm-hmm.
And here, I mean, I guess there's a lot of granola here too,
sort
but I feel
of.
Like there's
it's usually like the oats and like some dried fruits.
Right. Like chocolate granola is like a weird, like strangely common thing to eat at home for breakfast. So I just wanted like a good chocolate granola, and I work with the Mass Brothers. They're kind of buddies. They've known for a long time.
Love them.
Yeah.
Local.
Yeah, so they always, you know, they hook me up with chocolate.
Up.
And
now, is it all local ingredients?
No, I try where I can, but, like, nuts and it's hard to come by.
This isn't really, like, a cashew almond and growing environment,
exactly.
I would say.
Yeah, I wish it was.
So if I wanted to get some of your granola, where could I find it?
Right now I have it in two stores, both in Williamsburg. One's the Deppener on North 3rd and Wythe. And
love
then,
it. Neighborhood as well.
Exactly, your neighbors. And then the other one's at Bakery is also on Wythe and North 8th.
So really, it's just like that, like a triangle with a little area of just granola making and things like that.
Yeah. I'm looking again at other places. I'm talking to Market Share. They're probably going to start carrying me once they open up the container in the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. And if someone... Can they order it on... People order it online?
They can email me.
What's the website? What's the email?
It's spatzis.com.
You want to spell that?
It's spatzis.com.
Awesome. And is this a breakfast, lunch, anytime sort of treat?
I think so. I eat it for breakfast, and I still eat it almost every day. But I know a lot of people, they'll just have it on their desk, and like they'll snack out of it. And
yeah, it's a
I
good
snack out of it when I make it. I eat all the nuts out of it.
And what's the future? Another flavor, another brand? More? Yeah, and you said more stores, but
yeah, I want to try to make a really good granola bar. I've been tinkering around with that for a while, but it's hard to get the consistency right, I guess.
Right.
And then there's going to be special flavors. There's going to be a Valentine flavor.
Oh.
And always looking to, you know, expand and looking for more markets to like pick up the product and all those things.
That's great. Yeah. Sarah, thank you so much. Is there a Twitter, Facebook, anything?
There's a Facebook.
What's the Facebook?
I think it's, how is that word? It's like Facebook/Spatzies. But if you go on the website, it'll link you to the Facebook.
Awesome. All right. So, we'll stick around. We'll eat some granola. Have some pizza. Sure.
Perfect.
We'll hang out. We're going to come back and we'll talk with Allie in Georgia from Los Angeles and from the internet, right?
Yeah.
Temples that I built for you, and I sang songs of praise and love. And up, I sang songs of burying you alive. And up, see, I had to tear it down, 'cause my faith was just a cloud. One I can't believe that I allowed to blind me.
Welcome to the show, Allie and Georgia, all the way from Los Angeles. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks. We're freezing.
You're freezing? Yeah, it's pretty cold. What's the weather like out in Los Angeles?
Not this.
Not. It's like 70, high 70s.
It's this plus 55 degrees. We walked outside and we were freezing and I couldn't feel my fingers. And I looked at my phone to see how many degrees it was, and it was 18, and I laughed in this weird, horrible, wounded, wicked way in the middle of a bakery that people, I was like, I've never looked at my phone and had it say 18 degrees.
I thought, last night I was looking at my phone for the weather, and I thought that I had it in Celsius, because
yeah.
I had like 8s and 9s, and I was like, oh, no, it's winter. Well, you know, winter really starts here now in January, so you're really at the start of our winter, which means this will be like this till April. But enough about the weather.
Yeah, sorry.
You two lovely ladies are in town because you're doing some shoots with the wonderful Unique Eats.
Sweets?
Yep. Sweets.
So we'll go back. How did you two meet?
We met,
Allie loves telling this story because it's really embarrassing to me. I'm going to just get out of the way. We met at a dive bar. I was peeing in a bush.
Georgia was peeing in a bush.
Classic.
Repeat. Georgia was peeing in a bush, Allie, when I met her.
we had a lot of mutual friends in common, and it just happened that when she walked up with one of my friends, I was over the bathroom at the dive bar because it was tiny and there was a long line of women wanting to
probably do.
I was literally in the dive bar.
This is outside of a dive bar. Yeah. Georgia was like over this line, so she went outside. She was like, "I don't care." And so a friend and I passed her, and a friend said, "Oh, that's Georgia." And I was like, "She seems like she's pretty chill." She seems like she's not terribly uptight.
Yeah.
So we got to be friends really quickly. And I guess conversely, though, you could always be like, I met Allie when she was watching me pee.
That's right. That's yeah. True. And I knew I would like her because she was okay with it. And I knew that she would deal with me. Well.
And then you two decided to put a little video together about the chicken McNugget teeny.
Right. We invented a cocktail it came out of our friendship. It was like a baby that we made out of our friendship.
Yeah. It was a joke. It was a farcical culinary video. Yeah. And for this drink called McNugget teeny, it was like a fictitious drink that involved a McDonald's milkshake spiked with vanilla vodka, rimmed in barbecue sauce and garnished with a McNugget. And it was a joke. It never existed until the day we made it on camera, and just our friend was a director for Funny or Die, and we put it online and it went viral really quickly.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Do you? What
yeah.
do you think when you saw it?
I was like, this can't be good. I'm not
what,
gonna lie.
What, us or the
dress? No, you girls were cute. I mean, it's what you sold it, because you were in dresses and everything. And
yeah, that was actually my grandmother's kitchen, my 100-year-old
grandmother's
kitchen.
But I was like, because I remember it being at the height of the cocktail phase,
yeah,
mm-hmm. and just going like, "Come on!"
Well, it was satirical.
No, it was very funny.
We were making fun.
It was
of
very.
That
I thought it was very funny. It was more that people, and this again, no offense to you, who were like, "Oh, I bet you this is good." I was like, "Guys, come on!"
Like, it's not good. It's great.
These girls are well played. It's, yeah. These ladies are obviously riffing on things that people taking very seriously. But that led to Drinks with Allie in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, food. We both got like a Facebook message on the same day. We were on GChat at our respective terrible day jobs. And we were like, did some creep say that he was from Food Network? Like, try to add you on Facebook?
Yeah, we're like, this guy's bullshit. So we looked him up on Google. Like,
on like LinkedIn. And we're like, oh, he is an executive at Food Network.
He's for real. And he's asking us if we can make real cocktails.
Like actual, I guess they liked seeing like two girlfriends kind of just goofing off and being themselves. And as it happened, like I had bartended, Georgia had worked at a restaurant. You know, she loves cooking. I love beverages. And so we decided like we could actually learn a lot about this and kind of develop some fun, ridiculous recipes. And so it led to what we do now, which is rad.
Yeah.
And then we signed this paper that the devil gave us, and we had to use our own blood, which was weird.
I don't know. I was on a lot of... They put a lot of stuff in my drink that day.
Oh, right. You had a contract, right?
That, yeah.
Yes.
Beelzebub Incorporated.
Yeah, Beelzebub Incorporated. But it's been good. I mean, and you make fun riffs on cocktails, right? You make not the normal things you do.
Well, we think about what we would want to eat, and we kind of turn that into a cocktail.
Give us an example.
Red velvet cupcakes.
Yeah, we're like, how can we make something that's like vanilla-y but cocoa-y?
Yeah, we have a cheesecake.
We made cocktail. A liquid cheesecake, which sounds crazy, but we used a buttermilk and two different nut liqueurs.
Yeah.
And we shook it with some lemon zest, and it's actually really good. It's totally. It's like a crazy little dessert cocktail that you might sip, and it's kind of something that when you have a dinner party, when you have people over and you're entertaining, you have a weird, interesting cocktail recipe that no one's tried. Mm-hmm. People kind of bond over it, and everyone wants to try a little bit, and some people like it, some people won't.
Do you find any inspiration in this beautiful granola we're staring at to make a cocktail?
Oh, we could absolutely use this granola to make the chocolate. I think we could do something.
We
really
did make a cocktail called the Cereal Killer that involved cereal soaked milk base, and and I think there was some like amaretto in that.
Yeah, so you could actually use granola for that.
The entire time I've been staring at these bags of granola and this really adorable girl that makes them. By the way, you guys are missing out on the fact
she's
that this girl's
also
so adorable.
There are a lot of boots going on.
Here. She's like got these cute boots, leggings, and she's like, "I'm German and I'm adorable."
Yeah,
but I'm looking at her granola and I just want to
put a bunch in my hands and just eat it like a
I've
horse.
Seen Allie eat a bag of granola in
You know, we can find some string and strap it on like a feed bag.
For real.
Oh my god, that's a great idea.
That's a good idea.
For real, hook my muzzle up to that. I'll just nom it. Pass out.
So you girls were doing the online thing, and then you took the plunge to quit the day jobs, am I right?
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very, it was like a toe in, and then an ankle in, and then finally it was just full submersion, but...
I think when we cemented our friendship was when you had just quit the day job, like a year ago, at the Taste TV Awards.
It's been a little over a year, and it was almost like this... we didn't even have enough money to like live off of for a while. We were like, let's just try this and see if it works.
I did. I saved up a bucket. I saved up like a couple years worth of salary, and then I was out.
Wow, that really just right there.
I thought I did.
We both had pretty good because we both had been working jobs.
I really have to say that really just said who's who.
Oh my god!
No, I was like, I mean, I had a pretty big, I had a big chunk of savings. I knew I was cool, but I was working as a writer at the LA Times, and I was doing this and that full time, and I was burnt, and I couldn't take any more time off to come out here to shoot stuff. And they at the Tribune, the LA Times, they give you 3 free therapy sessions if you're going through any kind of crisis. And so I just did anonymously, and I told them, like, I don't know if I should quit this job. I've got this thing with my best friend in the Food Network. Should I quit for that? And the first session, the lady's like, oh, quit. Oh, God, get out of here. You kidding? That sounds awesome. And I was like, all right.
Really?
Yeah. And then the next 2 sessions, we talked about, like, I don't know, my mom and, like, an ex-boyfriend or something.
Did you find, like, you're getting close to a breakthrough, and then they're like, oh, sessions are up?
No, I was like, the first session, she was like, we're done here. You're quitting your job. That sounds, your best friend, you get to make drink videos and travel the country? What are you doing here?
Can I ask, and this might be one of our most hard-hitting questions I've ever asked, what's it like working with your best friend?
That's a great question. It changes daily, but we're actually, it's weird how well we work together.
We are incredibly close. Like, more, I mean, it's more than a best. I mean, and the way we fight, it's like when you fight with your siblings, you fight dirty because they can't stop loving you.
Yeah.
And Allie, you know, we can't, like, stop being friends.
Yes.
We can't
because
stop
it's
being
our
friends.
Career. So we sometimes, like, we fight really dirty, but then when we make up, it's, we're, like, even closer because
the things that you can
out.
Say to somebody who you know really can't walk
away. Oh, yeah, can't walk away.
No.
But, I mean, the thing is we don't fight that much. I mean, I think we know we don't want to hurt each other because we know how much that sucks. And also we know what not to fight over. Like, she knows if I'm wearing, like, I'm wearing a really ratty, ugly cardigan right now because it's really freezing out, she knows not to criticize it, or I'll be like, shut up. Like, we just know what buttons not to press because it's not worth it. We know what battles to
but
fight.
But it's so much fun, though, working with your best friend, because
we don't have to use words anymore.
We just know each other's
it's looks.
The other day, she took a picture and she was about to post it on Tumblr, and I was drinking a sip of Chardonnay at a gallery opening.
Solo cup.
And all I went was, and she's like, I did. I did.
I already did that. Oh, and I
asked
what she was saying.
Did you post it to Tumblr with a mouthful of wine? And she was like, just based on like cadence.
On the cadence.
Yeah. But last night we were in our hotel room in a very very swanky Holiday Inn Express in Chelsea, drinking white wine, eating pop chips, and watching awards and
we just
oh,
like
right,
a
the
slumber
Gold
party.
Award.
Oh God.
No. How was it?
Well, it's funny because I got to watch my football game, and then Allie got to watch the Golden Globes, and neither of us wanted to watch the other one, but we dealt with it because we're friends.
That's really cute.
Yeah,
true. So you're out here shooting for, it's Unique Eats, right?
Unique Sweets.
The wonderful Irene Wong produced.
God, we love her.
She's the best.
We love her. We want to hug her sometimes.
She's a past guest on the show.
Oh, really?
So
dig
rad.
It up on the podcast archives.
Nice.
All 98 previous episodes.
She is amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
But you're shooting with my other favorite woman in television, Emily Benson.
Yes.
Who
also,
I love dearly.
Also great.
Irene Wong is going to be in LA when we're in New York. Too bad.
So what does it consist of when you do these talking head shows? Well, take us through what, for those who might know not the inside stuff.
Well, it starts, it's like really hard, you can't complain about it because we're so lucky to have these jobs, but 1 week we ate 17 donuts for the show.
17 donuts in like a span of 3 days.
You know that you only have to eat like a bite, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but.
Yeah,
well,
I know, people say the same thing to me, it's like, you know you don't have to clear your plate, and I go, come on.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Well, like, for example, we were in New York a couple days early from shooting, so we can try a couple places that we have to talk about.
Can you say which ones?
Can we say? I don't know.
It might rhyme with Boasteria Verandi.
And
Verandi.
It's right. Not. It's
okay. All right.
Whatever.
Enough. That was really good.
Thank you. Sorry. So then,
improv. We said yes. Improv.
No, I just don't know if we're allowed to say
no,
it.
It's fine.
I'm covering my bases.
So you're down to eat a little bit early, and then you go in, and you girls wear your dresses,
mm-hmm.
look beautiful, hair, makeup full.
Oh yeah,
do the whole treatment.
Oh yeah,
it's like RuPaul and JonBenet had a baby.
Yeah.
It's like it's part like toddlers and tiaras,
they just
and part
spackle
training.
Us and tell us not to curse, and then like throw us in front of the camera. Exactly.
But it's fun, though.
Oh, my God. It's freaking amazing. Like, we get to just banter about the food to each other, so.
Yeah, and it's also good when you are doing two talking heads in one, and you're sitting next to each other. They can't get as close in on you. So you have the advantage of not having the HDTV, like, straight up in your grill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoom out a little.
HDTV is not forgiving.
No.
Yeah, I know.
So let's talk about the future. What is 2012, other than the collapse of all of human society?
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun.
Before
that happens.
Before the Mayan calendar runs out.
Right.
What are you two going to do?
Well, we actually just shot 10 episodes of a new web series for cookingchannel.com.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. We kind of love it.
Like our new baby that we're so excited about.
There's a lot of talk about babies.
I know.
Strangers.
We have
There's
a lot of kids.
On.
I'm not pregnant.
Talk about this off the air.
That's why you eat 17 donuts.
That's right. No, we shot this show called Classy Ladies of Valley in Georgia, and we get to take a culinary class in every episode. So it starts off with with kind of a setup. We go take a culinary class and we come back and do something with it. But we are like in our full outfit, so it's very classy.
We always wear vintage dresses and mm-hmm. really fancy clothes. And part of the reason for that is because you can get away with a lot more when you're dressed nicely. And we are kind of like body and ridiculous and nerdy, and curse sometimes. But we get a lot away with it because.
Yeah, they bleep out dresses. The F-words, and we're wearing dresses, and everyone's happy.
Yeah, and
so.
They make cocktails mm-hmm. and food, and it's
great.
It's really fun.
So that's on cookingchanneltv.com, and that'll launch in a couple of weeks. And then Unique Sweets is airing. It airs every Sunday. And then we're also working on developing a TV show or travel and food-based. So
amazing.
We're hatching that out and shooting some samples for
that.
It's
pretty great. I was a receptionist, and I quit my job, and now this happens to me, and I just can't believe it's real.
I worked like 12-hour days at a newspaper, and I ate ham sandwiches out of a vending machine 3 nights a week. So.
Yay.
Yeah.
It looks like you two made the right decision.
I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The website is Allie in Georgia.
Yep. And we're on Twitter, Allie in Georgia. We're on Tumblr.
We're on Facebook.
Are we on LinkedIn? We need to get on
that. We're not.
You know,
we need to
I'm
get
on LinkedIn.
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, I know that I get requests, and I just never, like, I don't know. I'm sure people have found success on LinkedIn.
Do you think so?
I have no idea. The same people found success on Monster.com. Right?
Exactly. I'm at my limit with social networks that we're on. I can't.
Yeah, I think that's what happened with Google Plus or Circles, whatever came out. I was like, the idea of building another network after Friendster and MySpace.
Oh, God.
We're tired. These are such first world problems, but I'm okay with
this. All right, enough about this. Well, Allie, Georgia, stick around, have some pizza.
We
have Devin coming up next, but first up, a couple tracks. To transition us smoothly into the music part of Snacky Tunes here on HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Thank you.
We are lucky enough to be joined in studio with the most dapper gentleman that we've had looking this year, Devin, from Brooklyn, New York, yes?
Yes.
Devin, welcome to Snacky Tunes again.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Great.
Great?
Yeah.
How's 2012 treating you so far?
Yeah, great. I mean, we got a single out, French Kiss. Your Mind is the single. It's out. The album come out in a couple months, you know. I'm not sure. Got the band together. It's a trio. It's going to be awesome. Live show. And that's it. I'm here doing a little acoustic versions, which is not, you know, how it sounds. So it's kind of strange. So
No. We I mean, when we opened up the show with the song, it's very loud.
Yeah, it's loud.
Very loud.
It's rock.
So let's go back to the beginning. How'd you get started playing music?
I started recording at my, you know, apartment. Just recording and, you know, I just started recording in my apartment, rock songs, you know, and then eventually I got the band together after, so. And then I met Sid at French Kiss, and we had a great relationship, and he made a record, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, why don't you play the song off the record?
All right, we're playing I Don't Think I first.
Okay, great.
I Don't Think I. We all know smoke rises, baby, and ashes fall. But if I don't have you, that don't sound like no fun at all. Your boy, he don't look like he got much. Don't look like he want much. Don't look like he'll get much. And believe me when I tell you, baby, you don't know nothing about what I do. I had some friends, I left them to die. Gets easier to forget, you know it does, as time goes by. You know, it goes by so quickly. But I don't think I, oh no, would do that to you, baby. In a heartbeat, once an hour. And when she roll her tongue all in front of her teeth, oh, got me feeling like this night is ours. And I don't know what she's learned, but the young is so good at pretending. And believe me when I tell you, baby, you don't know nothing about what lover, I left her for dead. But I can't forget the last thing she said. Don't worry about her. I don't think I, oh no, would do that to you, baby, baby, baby. I don't think I, no, no, would do that to you. Cause I left her for dead, but I can't forget the last thing she said. Had me feeling something, but I don't think I, oh no, would do that to you, baby, baby.
Awesome. Let's talk about your influences. You said that you're a big fan of Elvis Costello and things like that. And what is it about that type of music and that sort of sound that really draws you?
To
that vibe.
The hyper energy. You know what I mean? The live show, just straight rock, good lyrics, and the energy. You know, fun. Doing a live show. You know.
You're playing a lot in Brooklyn these days, and you have this infamous show that I know a lot of people talk about at Shea Stadium. Can you tell us a little bit about that show and how that happened?
Well, Shea's the greatest venue in Brooklyn, hands down. You know, it's just awesome. You know, I've been playing there all, you know, last year, and I've been through there so many times that it's just, I don't know, it's the best venue. You're going to have a great time if you go there. And, it's, what is it, 2 Fridays away?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the first show with this new lineup I have here, and it's, you know, going to be great.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Shea Stadium is not the old Mets place. It's DIY. Who are the kids that run it?
It's like, the So-So Glows over there.
What are you excited about getting this album out? You know, you've been working on it for a while, and now the world's finally going to hear it. What are you hoping that people feel about this, and what are you hoping to say with it?
I mean, I just want to go. I've only played really in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go around the country. I've never, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to go around, and hopefully the album, you know, will allow me to do that. You know, to go around with the band, go around the United States, you know, go to the UK, you know. And just, yeah, play music. And hopefully put out a new album next year, you know.
Yeah. Now, we talked a little bit about French Kiss, but what's it like working with Sid, who is such a legend in the Brooklyn scene himself?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's just a perfect match, really, French Kiss. And I was lucky, I mean, definitely, to, you know, have hooked up. But, I mean, he's known, like, pretty much from the start. I mean, because I was sending the demos of the album that I made in my apartment. And so he caught on really quick and was coming to shows and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a great relationship, you know. Very supportive.
And you have great label mates over there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dodos, local natives, yeah.
Drums.
Drums, yeah.
Love the drums. Another Brooklyn band.
Yeah.
So how do you feel that you fit into the Brooklyn scene? Where do you land?
I mean, no one's doing anything the same. You know, everyone's completely different. All the bands like that. Drums, local natives, Dodos, me. Yeah. They're all completely different, so that's what's great. You know what I mean? That's why, like, Shea, too, like, you go there, like, it's not like, oh, this is a punk night, like, punk, you know, they're all punk bands. Every band sounds completely different, doing their own thing, you know what I mean? So it's very cool. It's freeing, you know what I mean? You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Try to make it good.
Yeah. All right, let's hear another song. Let's do another song. What do you got for us next?
Man. I don't know, man. What about Run?
Sure.
Run.
All right.
I had a heart, I felt it break. I had a soul, I watched it run away. I know it can't be easy, but I'm not that strong, baby. Oh, run, run, y'all better run, y'all better run. All I know is I need ya so bad. Head in my hand, over all the fun we had. And I know it can't be easy, baby, I'm a weak young thing. You know I'm with somebody, but she ain't the same. She said, run, run, y'all better run. I felt it break. I had a soul, then I watched you run away. I know it can't be easy, baby, I'm not that strong. remember your eyes and all I got wrong. She said, run, run, you better run, you better run.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, I know you're about to start heading out on the road and things like that, but, you know, when you're at home, what do you normally eat for inspiration? What do you normally cook? What do you like to eat when you have the comforts of home?
Yeah, I mean, I don't usually cook. It's very difficult for me. I mean, I don't know, but I would usually, I mean, like, I like a hamburger, cheeseburger, yeah, like that, but I don't really make it. I made Sloppy Joe's the other night. That was a big ordeal. That was like special occasion.
What was the special occasion? Why was it an ordeal?
Just to make that I was cooking in the apartment. That was it. I mean, it was just, I don't know. I feel like you have to build yourself up, you know what I mean, so much to take on something like that, to make a meal, a legitimate meal. But yeah, I like meat, I guess.
So, are you looking forward to you hitting up South By this year?
Yeah.
What do you got lined up for South By?
I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of things. You got to make the choice if you're going to do, like, 10 shows. You know what I mean? Or just, like, a couple. But, I mean, we have, like, I definitely want to play French Kiss, you know, doing their thing. Maybe Stubbs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're definitely going to be down there. I want to play as much as possible. I haven't played that much this last year.
Yeah. So beyond South By and beyond UK, what are you hoping for 2012?
I mean, that's it. I want to work at play. I mean, because it's going to be so different for me. I've been, you know, I just work a regular job. I'm in a warehouse over, you know, in Red Hook. I've been there for the last 2 years. You know what I mean? Just working. I live in my apartment. You know what I mean? Stable life. So I just would want to be on the road singing the songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what will happen, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, the music's good. You got the heart. You got a great support system from the band and the label.
Yeah.
And, so what's all the nuts and bolts? What's the Facebook, the Tumblr, the Twitter?
It's the Facebook, Devin, D-E-V-I-N. I think the website, Devin Music, I think. And then that's got everything on there. Facebook, I think it's just Devin. Pretty simple.
Awesome. So what are you going to play us out with?
I wanted to make it known that I lost a string here. So that messes up my whole plan. But
well, do you have another string? Because we can
No, I don't. I'm not prepared.
Okay. Alright, so
let's do maybe In My Solitude.
Okay. Alright, well, thank you so much to all the lovely ladies sitting here, Sarah, Allie, Georgia, Devin, French Kiss, Roberta's, everybody, and tune in next week for our 100th episode. Woohoo! All right, Devin, take us out. Here we go.
Okay.
In my solitude, I'm left with what I can almost bear. Felt the breath of my twin. Turned out she wasn't ever even there. And now none of my evil dreams can ever come true. 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 In my solitude, cut from the comforts of guilt and blame, the sun falls slowly and my heart beats the same. With no stranger to burn my dreams into. How will all the uncertainty at midnight turn into all the hope of the dawn? Guts full of doom, my heart full of doom, I'm lost with kiss the lonely lips of silence. And all I know stays hid behind my eyelids. With no hopes for any more bloody smiles without you. In my solitude.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Today's Daily Bite is brought to you by Modernist Pantry, supplying innovative ingredients for the modern cook. Visit modernistpantry.com for more.
It's no news that Walmart is big into organic food. But should we be concerned that the concept of organic, with its implications of being local or better, is being subverted or co-opted by a behemoth like Walmart? Chef, activist, and CEO of the Wholesome Wave Foundation, Michelle Nishan, puts this into perspective.
My bottom line with these large companies moving in this direction, when you have someone like Walmart saying local is important, it tells us that the demand is so broad and across so many different socioeconomic barriers that the demand for local is even more than we'll ever understand.
If Walmart pays the true cost of organic regional production instead of forcing prices down for farmers, then that is a giant step forward for rural economies across the country, as well as for those with limited access to fresh foods. Stay tuned.